If you have attended other Good Friday services in the Episcopal Church, you would have heard throughout that gospel that we just read, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, over and over again. But if you noticed in this experimental liturgy that we're using, those repeated the Jews were replaced with the Judeans or the Judean authorities. So why? In the first place, Judeans is a more historically accurate translation of hoi judaioi. You can hear judaioi, Judeans. And it's a political and geographic label, not a religious one. It refers to the people of a particular region. And in the context of John, it refers not only just to that region, but really to the power center of that region, to the wealthy rulers. John the Evangelist was himself religiously a Jew. But he was a Jew who believed that Jesus is the Messiah. And he was caught up in conflict with others from his own religion who believed differently from him. But he was writing in a way that makes it inappropriate, for he was a member of that group. He was a Jew himself. So there's the historical accuracy question for why we would translate as Judean rather than Jew. But there's a more important reason than that. There's the impact of hearing the Jews over and over again in the context of the story of the death of Jesus. Because we Christians have a horrible history of anti-Semitism, of calling Jews Christ killers. The Holocaust was perpetrated by Christians. The pogroms in Russia were perpetrated by Christians. And when I was in seminary at the University of the South in Suwannee, I had a class taught by a rabbi. And Rabbi Falk talked about growing up in Nashville and how on Good Friday, all the Jews in town hid because they knew that the Christians were going to go to the local movie theater, which was showing King of Kings. And they would watch that movie and they would come out looking for Jews to beat up, because the Jews were Christ killers. There's a horrible history of violence committed by religious people. And this experimental liturgy is an attempt to help correct those errors, not just by using a more accurate translation of hoi judaioi, but by changing the solemn collects that we'll pray together after the sermon, to reflect our historical involvement as Christians in trying to blame others for the death of Jesus. The familiar translation and the familiar collects reflect our persistent human temptation to demonize others, to label ourselves good and others evil, to diminish or deny the humanity of those with whom we disagree, and to completely dehumanize our enemies. It's been said that truth is the first casualty of war, and one of the first truths to die is that our enemies are every bit as human as we are. In the lead up to every war, Notice the language about the people who were being labeled as enemies. They stop being people with whom we disagree, and they become monsters, beasts. It happens every time. In the war in Ukraine, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Ukrainians are referring to the Russians as orcs. It's often true that our enemies' actions are inhumane and monstrous. But sadly, they themselves are human, showing us just what human beings are capable of doing. And if we call them monsters, beasts, orcs, we fail to admit that we share their humanity, that they share our humanity, that this kind of evil is part of what human beings can do. And when we celebrate the death of our enemies, it's clear that there is hatred and violence in our own hearts too. Even if we disguise it as a desire for justice. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was held for years in prison by the Soviets, who experienced a whole lot of human evil at the hands of the Soviets, wrote in the Gulag Archipelago, "The line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart, and through all human hearts. This line shifts inside us. It oscillates with the years. And even within hearts overwhelmed by evil, one small bridgehead of good is retained. And even in the best of all hearts, there remains an unuprooted small corner of evil." Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" On Good Friday, we're invited to look truth in the face, to see there, hanging on the cross, not some sacrifice that God demands from human beings. No, sacrifices and offerings I have not desired, God says. No, it's the sacrifice that we human beings demand again and again. The sacrifice of human lives to our desire for punishment, for revenge, for our enemy's defeat. And our willingness to let someone else suffer so that we don't have to. In a little while, we're going to see a rough wooden cross brought forth, and we'll have that part of the service that we call the Adoration of the Cross. We're not being invited to worship the object itself as if it were an idol, but to see in the cross a symbol that points to God's own truth. So I invite you to look at the cross today, to look truth in the face, to see that over and over again, we humans choose the path of hatred, of violence. Today on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, there were people hurt in fighting between Muslims and Jews. This week is the convergence of Passover, Ramadan, and Holy Week. And once again, violence. Those who live in the South may or may not know that on more than one occasion, on Easter Sunday, Christians poured out of church and went to find black people to lynch. Over and over again, we humans choose the path of hatred, of violence. We stand silently watching as innocent people suffer. We convince ourselves that we are not to blame, that there is nothing we can do, that they, those others, are evil, and we are good. That because those others are evil, they deserve what is happening to them. I invite you today to look at the cross, to look truth in the face, and see that Jesus didn't identify himself with the judges who condemned him to death. That's not where he stood. Jesus didn't identify himself with those who said, "We have a law, and by that law he deserves to die." He didn't identify with those who said that they were good and others were evil. He didn't even protest his own innocence. No. He identified with the prisoners, with the tortured ones, with the whipped and beaten ones. He identified with the people on death row. And in Jesus, God doesn't stand with the judges. God stands with the condemned. So look at the cross today. Look truth in the face. See not just the reality of the evil that's present in every human heart, but see the most fundamental truth of all. The truth of God's love. That God made us good and blessed us. That God loves us even when we have chosen evil. That Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loves them to the end of his life, to the end of our lives, and until the end of time. See the power today of God's foolishness and weakness. See the power of God's love. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. Through him who loved us.